Welcome to worship. How about that? We are so glad that you are here this morning. We would like to find out who is in worship today, and the way we do that, there are pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write down your name, give us any contact information, check the appropriate boxes. That helps us find out some information about you. Once you're done, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started. And we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you would tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Big Rod, you got an announcement this morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Young people, you're important to us, and we need you to go. Again, this year, we got things changed a bit in the way we will be doing things. You won't be just standing around so much this year. We're going to have some spinoffs that go four or five people to work at other projects, then come back and work on ours. Furniture items, we're still short on many items. I think Marinelle and Alice, food items coming in okay.
Sign-up sheets on the table.
Yes, yeah. Sign-ups are still available. How about that? Is that a good answer?
That's a good answer.
Okay.
All right, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Roger. A lot of work happening with that and a lot of people preparing, and so we're looking forward to what God's going to do down in the Grifton area. Couple other reminders. We are having children's time today, right down here. See all the kids in just a minute. This Tuesday begins our summer day camps. Every Tuesday from 9 until 12, our preschoolers will be here at the church. We have a day camp just for them. Sign-ups for that are ending today, so you can find out all that information on the children's website. And then the children will have a week-long day camp later in the summer. Also, on Wednesday, we're starting our Wednesday night series this Wednesday evening at 6:30. We're talking about the life of Abraham and Joseph. There will be programs for preschoolers and children as well. And our youth, they are continuing their summer series on Tuesday from 12 until 4. So lots that is happening. One of the things that we added last year to our summer calendar was the Family Mission Days. We have picked two Saturdays, this summer where we're inviting everybody in our church to be a part of a Family Mission Day group or a work project. We are working in our community, working with projects from the Shepherd Center, and we're going to be doing light renovation, cleanup, construction, lots of different options. That is next Saturday. That's our first one of the summer. If you're going to be a part of that, I need you to call me or email me by this Wednesday so I can put those teams together. It is from 9 until 12 next Saturday. We're actually inviting everybody to be here at 8:30 so we can gather together, and then we'll leave, and the projects will last from 9 until 12. This is a great opportunity to get to know maybe a different group of people in our church while we reach out and touch the community with God's love. So that is this coming Saturday. Let's see. Any other announcements? I think we're good. We want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. You have already given us your information on the pew pad, and we appreciate that. If you're a guest, we would like to give something to you. Just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will recognize you. They will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find the newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So we are blessed by your presence this day. You know, certainly it is Father's Day, and that day changes meanings very quickly. And this having Matthew be 2 years old, and I was thinking this morning, just what a blessing it is to be a dad. And as sometimes it's stressful, and it's the questions that you have, you're never good enough, you never say the right things. I'm reminded that we have such a great example of who I need to be as a dad and our Heavenly Father, and how often we forget to ask Him what He wants for us. And so that's my goal for just, I'm going to try to make it through the day, that being my goal. That's what worship is about. It's for us to become like God. That is the point of worship, for us to be in His presence, to learn from Him, to be inspired by Him, to give praise to Him, to worship Him, to thank Him. And on this Father's Day, when we stop to pause and we consider our Heavenly Father, are we thankful for all that He has provided, all that He has given, especially His Son? Let us prepare for worship. Will you pray with me? Our Father, we thank You. We thank You for the beauty of this morning, the beauty of Your presence among Your people. May we be focused on You this morning. May we center our attention on You. For You love us. You want to be near us. You want us to want to be with You. And for this moment, we are. So in this place, we pray. As we consider all the ways You have blessed us, have taken care of us, have sheltered us, have provided for us, we say thank You. We do this through words, through song, through prayer. Help us to do it with our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. right, all the kids, come on down. Come on down. Oh, y'all are excited. I need especially my big kids today. Especially my big kids. Come on down, Christian. I see you hiding up there. There he is. There he is. Thought he was coming. All right, come on down. Have a seat right down here. Jared, I need for you. Crisscross applesauce this way. Looking this way, Jared. There we go. All right. I need two volunteers. Two volunteers. I got one. I got two. All right. Now, I need for you two. I have something very important in here. Okay? And the person who does what's in your envelope, let me see. I'm going to get the big bucks here. Yep. Yes. The person who does, follows their directions first gets a $10 Pastor Pal. All right? That's what I'm talking. We're big spenders around here. $10 Pastor Pals, all right? Can you, who's, what? Okay, all right, hold that. It's $10, right? Okay, but there are instructions. They're the same instructions, but they're in different orders. You have to read from the very first word to the last and do whatever it says. You understand? Read it and do what it says. All right, now stand up. All right, open your envelopes. They've been sealed. Okay, so nobody could. Okay, maybe opening the envelope would be the thing we should have tested to begin with. Okay, the first person to open it gets a 5. All right, I'm going to lay that. Okay, we got. All right, you already got a 5, but let's see if you can get a 10. All right, let's see. All right, you got to read the instructions. Okay, everybody just read the instructions. No, 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 Wilson, come back. No, you didn't read the instructions. Read the very first instruction. You did it too. Read the very first instruction. What is it? No, 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 no. Look at the top. Look at the top. What does it say? Read these instructions all the way through and then do what they say.
Turn around 3 times.
No, look. Read them all the way through and then you do number 10.
Okay.
Only do number 6.
Okay.
So only do number 6. Okay, y'all failed. All right, all right, all right. Sit down. Sit down. Okay. I said, read the first word all the way through the last, right? And the first instruction was read these instructions all the way through and then do what they say. And then you get to number 10 and it only tells you to do one of them. That's a trick, isn't it? Teachers have done that before on tests. See if we are following instructions, okay? So you did well, so I'm going to give you a 5. Mr. Charlie did that to you, see? All right, I'm going to give you a 5. You get to keep the 10 for you. You did good, all right? See, I'm a nice guy, okay? Instructions. Why do we not like following instructions? Sometimes they don't make sense. Yes? That's right, Jared. Tell him whatever you're told. Here's the thing about dads and men in general. I need for you to listen real closely. Listen real closely. Men don't like asking for directions. Right? We don't. You heard that, Dad? I'm glad he's including Dad in this. That's good. Is everybody listening? Jared, are you listening? Everybody listening? We guys don't always like following directions. And here's why. Because we don't always like to admit we don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to get somewhere. Have you ever been on a trip with your dad or your granddad and they didn't know where they were going? Did they ask for directions or did they, oh, I know where we are. I know we're lost, but I know right where we are. Do they say that kind of, sometimes, then they have the GPS got them lost. There's all kinds of excuses. One of the, we can talk later. Listen. Okay? Here's the thing about directions. One of the things that Pastor Raymond is going to talk about, one of the things that men, guys, are supposed to do is point their children to God. Help children find their way to God. This morning, we have a gift for all the men in our church. The dads, the granddads, the uncles, the prayer partners, the adult teachers, any man who's here today, they're going to get a gift. And does anybody read? What was that?
God's direction is always best.
God's direction is always best. That's exactly right. That'll teach them to follow instructions. Us men, we need to be able to say, are you listening? We need to be able to say, we are seeking God for our direction. Not when we get lost to be embarrassed, but to seek after God. I know. Me too. God's direction is always best. They're going to get this. And it's got some helpful reminders. And so what I want you to do, when you go see your dad today, maybe you're going to see your granddad, maybe you're going to see an uncle, maybe just you're going to see a guy in your life that's really important. I want you to give them a big high five, a hug, do something, and say these words. Thank you for pointing me to Jesus. Because that's what our dads do, that's what our granddads do, and that's what we need to be thankful for. Okay? Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the men that in our lives, from the dads to the granddads to the uncles to the Sunday school teachers to the prayer partners to our coaches, so many men who point us in your direction. Give them the strength to do that, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Good job, guys. Thank you very much.
Oh my. Be sure and go get him out of the nursery when we start the sermon and get a little feedback off the front row there. Oh my goodness. There's a wonderful passage of scripture in the book of Ephesians. Paul is giving the church at Ephesus a lot of instructions. They're new believers, it's a new body of believers, and he's talking about unity, he's talking about living as children of light, he's given some practical instructions, he's talking about wives and husbands, and teaching them how to react to one another, to work together as children of God, and a lot of this was probably really new information for those new believers in terms of what their relationship should look like in terms of wives and husbands and how to treat one another, how to love one another, how to care for one another. And he goes through a lot of those instructions in Ephesians chapter 5. And then in chapter 6, or at least what we designate as chapter 6, he gets to the children. He's saying, okay, husbands, wives, here's how you treat one another because Christ has that kind of relationship with us. We have that kind of relationship with one another. And then children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Understand in context, he's been given instructions on Christian living, how we are to respond to one another, what kind of relationship we have to one another. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. We know what that means, don't we? Dads, we know what that means. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Dads, don't exasperate your children. Point them to Jesus. Teach them about Jesus. Lead them in a relationship toward Jesus. Those are Paul's instructions to us. I think they're pretty good instructions, not just for dads, but for all of us. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we rest in your presence this morning. We worship you for who you are. We worship you and we thank you for what you do for us. And dear Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together, to learn, to read your word, to learn from it, to listen to one another, to draw counsel not only from your word, but from the wisdom and experience of our fathers and our grandfathers. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ, which unites together in worship and encouragement, so that we can grow closer to you even as we're growing closer to one another. Help us to heed the words that you've given us, the instructions that you've given us, because we know that that is your way of showing us your love for us and helping us to avoid heartache and grief that's unnecessary. Father, we thank you for your son Jesus, who taught us how to live, who taught us how to love, who taught us that we can have victory over death even as we have relationship with you through him. It's in his name that we ask these things. Amen.
Let us praise the Father. I just want to tell all the fathers out there, I hope y'all all have a great day today. And I think that's something we all need to stop. And if we haven't already done so, take a moment and give thanks for. I think being a dad is a great thing. There's good times and bad times, but on balance, it's a great thing. And I know our daughter lives in Georgia, so I won't get to see her today. But we're going down in a couple of weeks, so I'm looking forward to that. But I got to play golf with my son twice this week. And he and I have always done a lot of things together, a lot of different things. But golf has been what our relationship has always been built around since he was that big. We just play golf together all the time. So now that he has a wife and a job, we don't get to play as much as we used to. So it's extra special now. We got to play twice this week. So I've had a great week. I can't think of anything else I would rather have done. So I'm very thankful for that. And everybody else, I hope everybody else stops and reflects for a moment too. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all the fathers and the opportunity to be dads, and what a great thing that is. And we remember all those dads that have passed on and aren't with us anymore. So remember them especially today. We thank you for all the many gifts and blessings we receive, but especially the financial blessings, resources that we are so blessed to have. And now as we give back a portion of those resources to you for the work of this church and for your kingdom, for your world, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver. Amen. Thank you.
You don't have to hang around a children's playground very long before you will hear something along the line of this phrase, "Oh yeah, well my dad can do," and then it's something filled in there. "Oh yeah, well my dad can," "Oh yeah, well my dad can," and the sentiment being expressed by children is that they think that they have the greatest dad on the face of the earth. Do you think you have the greatest dad? Most of us do, and I have bad news for you. All of you except me are wrong. I hope you can come to grips with that this morning and move forward beyond that. We all think that, and that's okay. You know, we won't argue about it, and we wouldn't argue about the fact either that that kind of relationship is special. A relationship between a father and a son, a father and a daughter. Mothers are saying, "Well, what about us? Well, you had your day last month, okay? This is Father's Day. It's a special relationship." It reminds me of a story of Mitch Edmonds and his daughter Rebecca. Imagine this, they were in Lowe's Home Improvement. Go figure. Mitch, yeah, wow, there's a shocker. Yeah. And Mitch and Rebecca was about 2 years old at the time. And they're walking along, and she's trying the best she can to keep up, but he's striding, he's going for the lumber. And he's booking down the aisle, she's trying to keep up, and at one point it's like, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," and the arms come up. Well, he recognizes, if I want to get there, I've got to fix this. So he picks her up, puts one up on her shoulders, on his shoulders, and is riding along, and he was almost to the electrical aisle when all of a sudden she starts pulling on his hair, and he's like, "Becca, honey, leave her hair alone." And he got a couple more aisles. "Rebecca, honey," I said, leave the hair alone. Quit pulling Daddy's hair. Quit pulling. "Rebecca, honey, please quit pulling Dad's hair." But Daddy, I'm just trying to get my gum back. That's not a true story, by the way. And I did ask for their permission to lie about them. But but the point of the story, and we could probably all tell a story similar to that we've heard, and most of them hopefully would be true, but it's about quality time. It's about relationships. It's about stories that make us smile because they're based on beautiful relationships, whether that's in Lowe's Home Improvement or in the yard, at backyard, or whether it's at church. Because you see, God gave us three institutions here on this earth. He gave us the home. He gave us government, and he gave us the church. The oldest and greatest of those institutions, the first and the greatest of those institutions, is the home. The church is a great institution too, but it can only be as great as our homes are. Our nation is a great institution. Some would say it's been greater, and maybe it has. But it can only be as great as our homes and our churches are. As the home goes, so goes the church. As the home and church go, so goes the nation. Throughout the years, much of the burden of having the right kind of home, of having the right kind of church, much of that responsibility has been placed on our moms. We talked about that last month. But interestingly enough, the Bible places the burden squarely in the lap of fathers. It's the dad's responsibility to set the moral and the spiritual example for the home, to see to it that the Word of God is honored and revered, to take the lead in matters of discipline, to make sure children are raised in the nurture and admonition, or as the NIV says, the nurture and instruction of the Lord. It's dads who are supposed to be making sure their kids are in church faithfully, greatly increasing their chances of having that personal relationship with the God who created them and Jesus Christ who loves them. Dads, it's our responsibility. We thank God for Christian mothers, some of which who've had to take on this role. But remember, dads, it's our responsibility. It was Joshua who said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Eve may have taken the first bite, but Scripture tells us that God came looking for who? Adam. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and we live in a day where some would say it's too difficult to be a good man. Some would say it's even more difficult to be a good husband. Some would say it's even more difficult to be a good dad. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see, as the saying goes. Especially when it comes to the advice that the world has to offer. Instead, look at what the Bible has to say. If you look at what the world depicts of fathers and dads, if you watch too much TV, you will see very quickly that the image that TV portrays of dads is inept at best. Mostly guys who are out of touch, who are struggling to kind of maintain order and try to keep their own lives together, let alone influence positively somebody else. That's kind of the image you get. But thankfully, we're not dependent upon the world for our instructions about how to be good dads. Psalm 128 is one of many passages that gives us some really helpful instruction. And let's read it together. I want us to read it. Psalm 128, hidden right there in the middle of the Bible, is this beautiful psalm. It's only 6 verses long, but it's really rich in some instructions, not only on how to be a good dad, but basically how to interact with others in a way that gives glory to God. So we're going to read verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 128, and then we'll kind of break it down a little bit. Beginning in verse 1, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Starts out right away, verse 1, first word, blessed. Blessed means to be congratulated. If you do things according to the following verses, you will be congratulated. You will be commended. In the original language, it's interesting that it's plural. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed, blessed is the man. Blessed, blessed is the person. That's double joy. Double joy if you do these things. So if you want double joy, you'll do these things. That's kind of what it's saying. And in verse 1, it says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. So first and foremost, a good dad will fear God and walk in old-fashioned character and integrity. Biblical integrity and character. So the question comes to my mind, what will our kids remember us for? Dads, what are they going to remember us for? Are they going to remember us for the present that we gave them on their 9th birthday? I hope not. I can't even remember that. I hope that's not what we're remembered for. I hope we're not remembered for the stuff that we gave our kids. I hope that we're remembered for the integrity, the character, the things that we taught them, the way we pointed them to God's Word and to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a story. This one is true. It's not about Mitch and Rebecca, but it's true. It's a true story. It's about a young man who grew up in a Jewish family in Germany. He had profound admiration for his father, and their entire family life revolved around their faith. They were Jewish. Their whole family life revolved around the synagogue. As a teenager, the family was forced to move to another town to find work, and the boy noticed that after they moved, the family stopped attending the synagogue. Instead, they started attending this nice, high society, fashionable Lutheran church. And he asked his dad, Dad, why have we switched? We're not Lutheran, we're Jewish. Why have we switched churches? And his father said these words, Son, attending this church will be good for business. We'll make contacts. We'll rub shoulders with the right kinds of people. The boy later testified that was the day that he lost all respect for his father. Each day from that point forward, he started frequenting British museums, formulating new ideas, and began putting them into a book form. A book that contained a whole kind of a different kind of worldview. He conceived of a movement which he believed would change the world to free it from what he called the problem of religion. The young boy's name was Karl Marx. We know him as the father of communism. And I would argue that this all started the day that he lost respect for his father. Dads, how will you be remembered? You'll be remembered by your character. Verse 2, he goes on, it says, you will eat the fruit of your labor, blessings and prosperity will be yours. A working man comes home, eats the fruit of his labor. He feels fulfilled by providing for his family. He gives an honest day's work because he knows Scripture says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. But by the same token, we need to be reminded that family comes first. Carefully consider the cost of climbing the ladder, as they say. Carefully consider, is your family going to have to pay the price for your climb? That's the question. You know, I've been at way too many deathbeds in my life. It's a blessing to say goodbye, but it's can be disturbing at times too. I can honestly say with most experiences I've had, it's actually been a very positive thing. But not once have I heard a father on their deathbed say, wow, I wish I'd just spent a little more time working. You don't hear that. I've never heard one say, wow, I wish I'd just made a few more dollars. You don't hear that. How will you be remembered? You'll be remembered by your character. We've talked about dad's character. Let's talk about dad's companionship. It was a woman that went into a online computer dating service. and in the profile thing, it was asking what her interests were. And she said, well, you know, the man I'm looking for, I don't care anything about his looks. I don't care anything about his income. I don't care anything about his background. I just want a man of upright character. The next man that logged in said that basically he just wanted a woman who was intelligent. He didn't care about her looks or background or anything else. Well, immediately the computer matched them together because they're a perfect match because they're both compulsive liars. You see, we laugh about it, but it's interesting how we choose our companions for life. It's really kind of fascinating. Verse 3, first part of it says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. And you go, what in the world does that mean? Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. It's actually a beautiful picture of a husband being a wall, being a support for the vine. Something for the vine to grow upon and to flourish and to be beautiful. You know, for me personally, for Sandra, I'm to be her support. I'm to be her strength. I'm supposed to be something solid, something that she can depend on. She, not the dog, which is good because we don't have a dog. She is to be my best friend. She is to be my best friend and I hers. We're to be companions. I'm to support her. I'm to be steadfast for her spiritually, emotionally, physically. All of those ways, I'm to be steadfast for her so that she can bloom and blossom. So if you want to be the spiritual leader in your home, understand God wants you to be. But you need to be steadfast for your companion, for your wife. We've talked about our character. We've talked about what God wants companion-wise. The third thing let's look at is child-rearing. You go, uh-oh, now we meddle. Well, it's pretty clear here. Let's look in the second part of the third verse. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. You're going, okay, I understand the fruitful vine thing. What about olive shoots? What is it about olive shoots? What is it about olive shoots? That's another, actually, quite a beautiful picture. Let me tell you something interesting about olive plants. They grow very, very, very slowly. But if they're cultivated properly, they will yield fruit for up to 800 years. No kidding. You can Google it when you get home. No kidding. And what that tells me, you go, well, what does that have to do with this? What it tells me, dads, is we're not growing mushrooms. We're not growing something out of nothing really quick and then it's gone. We're not doing that. We are growing olive trees, olive plants, something that will bear fruit for generations and generations and generations. We're affecting legacies. We want our children to be strong. We want them to be stable. We want them to be well-rooted. We want them to be well-grounded. And to do that, we need to water them. We need to shower our children with time. We need to cultivate a relationship with them. We must do some pruning at times, sometimes very often. And we need to introduce them to the light, the Son of God. And we need to protect them from the pests that are all around them and would threaten to eat them alive. And most of all, we need to add a lot of spiritual miracle grow. Need to add a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer to this equation. As Gary said earlier, it has some good times, has some bad times, but all in all, it's a great ride. Highly recommend it. And if we'll do these things, concentrate on our character. Concentrate on being steadfast for our companions. Concentrate on being a good example, being active in child rearing. Let's read on, finish it out one more time. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. I read it over and over and over, all six verses. What I was looking for was an escape clause. In other words, I wanted something to say there that, but if you didn't have a father like this, it's okay. There's no escape clause. Because with God's instruction, with God's strength, with the encouragement from this body, even if you did not have the kind of father that is described right here, you can still be that kind of father. You can still be that kind of man. No excuses. With God's help, we can do it. You see, we can't do anything about our ancestors, but we can do something about our descendants. You get the picture? Every decision we make, every decision we make about our children, every moment that we spend with them, every word of instruction that we give them is not just affecting our child, it is affecting generations that will come from that child. That gives me cold chills. I don't know about you. It's an awesome responsibility. It is a glorious privilege. And men, fatherhood is not just about a biological relationship. It's a spiritual relationship. For those of you that are prayer partners, for those of you that are teachers, whether you have a biological child on the face of this earth or even in this congregation, it does not matter, because you are being fathers, you are being grandfathers to all of these children. And it's a beautiful thing to see you interact with them. This is not just another Father's Day sermon. This is the word of God for us today and for every day. Let's thank him. Let's ask for his help. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, with your help, we will be the men that you've called us to be. With your help, we will influence not only single lives, but generations that follow. With your help, we will have the kind of character that you desire for us. We will be the kind of companions that we need to be, and that we'll be involved in the child rearing and the decisions that are made, the influence that we need to be with our children. God, we know that in and of our own strength that would all be impossible. But we thank you for your Holy Spirit who strengthens us for each day, who gives us what we need to be who we need to be. We thank you for the example of Jesus Christ, your Son, who showed us how to live, who showed us how to interact with one another, how to bless one another, how to love and encourage one another, and the beautiful picture of how he treated children, how he gave priority to them and instructing them and encouraging them. We pray that we'd be more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. If you don't have the kind of relationship with Jesus Christ, with God the Father that we've been talking about, in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing a hymn, and I'm going to be here at the front. I'd be glad to talk with you about your relationship with God, whether that be a first-time commitment to invite Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, or whether it be a renewal of your relationship with him. Whatever that decision is, I'd be glad to talk with you about it. You may be here and you say, I like what I hear about this congregation, and I'd love to be a member of College Park. There are ways, many ways that we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Would you remain standing, please, for our benediction. Dear Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day, the blessings of our fathers. Father, we pray that as we go from here, that we would live truly as children of the King, blessed as we are, and that we would give the glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's RAMON@collegeparkbaptist.org. or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.